Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Hello. We're going to continue a little bit tonight in our healing set. And just quickly to review, I've talked about healing for, we've done three sessions on it. I feel like it's important that we get this in our spirit during this strange season the world is in, because God wants us to know His stance on healing. He wants you to know that He is the healer. He wants you well. He wants you healed. It is the enemy that wants you sick. You know, in Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and fire, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus was healing all, but they had been oppressed by the devil. So sickness is from the enemy. Now, we did one session about that, the fact that healing was purchased as a part of the atonement. So at the same time that Jesus died for your sins, for your forgiveness, He also died for you to be healed. And so we actually proved that out through the scriptures. And we did a session on that sickness is part of the curse of the law, and Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. And we did a session about scriptures that show that God wants you well. He wants you healed. But if I was you at this point, I might be saying, well, that's all great, and I believe you because the scriptures are clear, but how do I receive it, or how do I make it happen? So we're going to do at least two more sessions, and tonight I want to talk about that speaking to the mountain is a big, big part of winning the battle over sickness. And so Jesus, as you know, he cursed the fig tree. And within 24 hours, it says that the fig tree withered or died from the roots up. He spoke to it one sentence. And the sentence was, may no man ever eat fruit from you again. Within 24 hours, the fig tree died. Now he and his disciples are walking back by the same fig tree, and they notice that this thing is dead. And they're actually surprised, either surprised that it happened or maybe surprised at how fast it happened. And Jesus stops everything, and he begins to teach them how to make things happen. And he says this famous line. He says, I tell you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, this is an interesting thing, because we think of praying as asking God to move the mountain. But Jesus is saying we are to command the mountain to move. And you might say, well, what is a mountain? It's any trial you may be facing. It could be sickness. It could be a tumor. It could be pain. It could be lack. It could be poverty. These things are all part of the curse of the law. We talked about this. Go back and listen to that one. If you haven't heard it, it's worth hearing. Because if you understand that sickness is clearly a part of the curse of the law, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, He paid for us to never have to walk in sickness or poverty or lack or, you know, many, many things. It's quite long. So Jesus wants you blessed. He wants you healthy. He wants you well. He actively wants it. And so the way we tend to look at God is, well, then why doesn't He do it? And the way He looks at it is, I did already do it. I purchased it, bought it, and paid for it. It has your name on it, but it's in heavenly places. You need to pull it from heaven to earth through faith. So this is a simple technique, and this has gotten me healed more times than I can count. So what I want to say is that I remember as God was teaching me about this, I was suffering with a sickness, and I'm a very determined person, and I'm like one of those people that I'm going to work because I'm healed, you know, and I could be, you know, honestly, it could look very much like I'm not healed, but I'm going to work. And so back in the day, I was at a job and I had this kind of long-term illness and it was difficult. And it was like it would just almost hit me in the side so hard I would almost fall over. There was pain involved, there was dizziness involved, there was some infection going on, there were some things going on in my body. But the Lord gave me that scripture. And it's quite a long one, you know, and the word, my old pastor used to say, the word will work if you work it. And at the time he said that, I had no idea what he meant, how to work the word. What are you talking about, how to work the word? I didn't know what that meant. But over the years, I learned that the word is alive. The Bible says so. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Think about that. The word of God is alive. It's a living thing. Scriptures are alive. More powerful than any two-edged sword. What does that mean? Any sword Satan has, any sickness he's got. I don't care what kind of sickness it is. The word of God has the power. But here's what we know. The word of God laying on a coffee table in a closed book, that's not the power. That's not what's alive. What is alive is when a believer opens up that word and begins to declare it into the earth. Now we have a person that Jesus gave his authority to. If you're a believer, if you're born again, he gave you his authority. Not just some authority, he gave you his own authority. That is why you say in Jesus' name. You're actually saying to the sickness or to the devil or to the circumstances, you're actually saying, when you say, Father, I pray this, 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 in the name of Jesus. You're saying, with the same power as Jesus, with the power of his name, the same faith that he has. I'm not even using my own faith, I'm using his faith, because what's happening is you're praying in his stead as though he were standing there saying it. That's how powerful it is to say in Jesus' name. So when you're speaking to a mountain, when God was teaching me this, I learned that quoting of the word does a couple things. One is it begins to hit the sickness. It begins to hit the enemy. It begins to punch, you know, like a hammer. What does the Bible say? The word is like a hammer that dashes a rock in pieces. Well, if you go out in your yard with a hammer and you try to dash a rock in pieces, it's not usually one hit, is it? You hit it and you hit it and you hit it. And you keep hitting that thing, because this we know, the word of God is more powerful than anything on earth. There's nothing on earth with greater power than the word. Fact. But it is the word in your mouth. It is the word in your heart. And so as you're growing in this, you know, maybe you've never operated in faith in your life. And I remember, you know, feeling like, okay, you know, before I understood faith, it took me a while to learn it. I'm sorry to say it took me longer than it should have. But as God was teaching it to me, I began to see that there was a process at work in my mind where I did have faith that God could heal. I did even realize that he wanted to heal, but I also felt horrible in my body. And so I had some doubt and fear. And I saw, you know, I'm a thinker, can't help it. I saw that concurrently, at the same time, I could have faith of some form and even hope, and at the same time have some doubt and unbelief. And I reminded myself of that guy who came up to Jesus and said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. I do believe, but you know, there's this thing sometimes where we say I'm believing, but we haven't dealt with the doubt. And so I knew I had to deal with that in my heart, because the scripture says, I'm going to say it again, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So I know that those things are in play, right? I can't have doubt. I must have faith. But I saw this kind of mixed, I hate to call it a mixed bag, but it kind of was in my own thoughts. And so I had gone to the Lord and said, how do I deal with this? And he began to tell me to speak the word whenever the symptom would come. So here I am at work, and I'll bet you, 20 times a day, maybe this thing would just hit me. I might be in a meeting where there's people. You know, you can't just exactly stop the meeting and say it out loud. So I would be muttering it under my breath just quietly. You know, I'd still be muttering it. Or I'd be at my desk, or I'd, you know, wherever I was at work, I would be saying, it is written, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, blah, 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 blah. And then I would say to the mountain, I would command, I'd say, dizziness in the name of Jesus, you must go. Sweats or fever, you must go. Chills, you must go. Whatever the symptom was, I would tell it to go. Now here's what started to happen. A couple things were happening. Sometimes, now this is going to sound strange, but I would feel the symptom instantly leave. Whatever I was speaking to, it would leave. It would try again later, almost like, do you ever fight with a devil and he'll go away and then he'll come back later to go, how about now? I mean, I remember when I was very, very young, in my 20s, and I still hadn't been delivered of some stuff, and I remember being at work and temptation. It was a devil. A temptation would try to come, and all I knew was to fight with the scripture. And I had a scripture, and I would fight that devil, and he would leave maybe for a few hours, and then he'd try to come back, and I'd say, no, it is written, and I'd quote my scripture, and he'd leave. And you know, if you won't quit, you will win. Well, it was the same way with this. But here's some other things that I noticed. As I would speak this scripture, the symptoms would leave. They would try later, right? So I don't know if that was demonic or physical. Don't know. But here's the other thing that was happening. My mind began to grow in faith. Every time I spoke the word out loud, or even if I was muttering it, my mind began to be transformed. Little by little by little. Let's imagine that my hands, like here would be like, this is the part of me that's in faith. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God heal people through me. I've seen myself get healed. I know God does heal. I know he wants to heal. But now here, it's a little scary. These symptoms have gone on too long. I had this before. Oh my goodness, it's taken a long time. You know, this is looking bad, blah, blah, blah. So here's these, both of these sets of things going on concurrently or simultaneously. As I would speak the scripture, here's what would happen. Every time I would speak the scripture, my faith would grow because the word impacts our soul. It impacts our mind. We are transformed with the washing, the renewing of our mind, the washing of the water of the word. So every time I would speak it, that's what it means to work the word. You're causing it to come to pass. And so I noticed that the doubt was decreasing because let's say 15, 20 times a day I was doing this. Within 3 days, here's what happened. Something, it was like bong. I had something called 100% faith, which we'll call the tipping point, and zero doubt. And instead of me hoping or believing or thinking about being healed, I knew I was healed. That's what happened in me. And after that happened, that's called the tipping point. That's what I call the tipping point. After that tipping point, I was healed. Because faith heals. What we do is we say, well, I believe, but kind of we haven't dealt with some of the other stuff. So speak to the mountain, no matter what it is. If it's a diagnosis, we're not talking about finances, but if it's a bill that you're struggling to pay, you need to speak to it. Jesus gave us authority, much greater authority than we know. He gave us great authority in the earth. He gave us his own authority, and he actually wanted us to run the earth. Did you know that the church is supposed to run things? That we're supposed to be determining what is allowed and what is not allowed. Not a bunch of creeps, not a bunch of politicians, God bless them. No, it's the church that's supposed to rule and reign, right? But we haven't understood the fullness of our authority. So Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you. But we say, well, that harmed me. You know, that, and the reason is the scriptures are absolutely true, but they're not automated. It doesn't mean you're never going to have a trial. It doesn't mean the enemy won't challenge the truth of those scriptures in your head. He'll try to challenge you. He'll try to say, well, that's not true because look at this. And that's where you challenge him back and say, it is written, buster. It's exactly what Jesus did in the wilderness. When Satan tried to talk him out of his identity, tried to talk him out of his mission and his ministry, Jesus responded. Jesus' response could have been a million different things. His response was, it is written, it is written, it is written. And what happened? It says the enemy left for a more opportune time because he knew he didn't have a shot at it. He had no shot because Jesus knew what he was doing. Now I'm going to share one story and I'll close with this. This is actually not my story. It's a story that Andrew Womack tells, but I think it's such a great example. He was ministering one time in Charlotte, North Carolina. And a woman came up for prayer, and her doctors had sent her home to die 4 years earlier. Now, she was a woman of faith. She loved the Lord, but she had been suffering with horrendous pain for 7 years. And I'm not sure what the diagnosis was, but she lived in pain, just terrible, terrible pain, and was really scheduled to die. They didn't have anything they could do for her. And she came forward for prayer. And so Andy began to pray with her. And he began to command, which he calls prayer, right? And in fact, it is. So he commanded the pain to go, and she was amazed because she was asking God to heal her, believing him to heal her, but not understanding that he'd already purchased it and she was to take authority. So the pain leaves, and she was amazed, but she said, but I still have a burning in my lower back. He said, oh, well, I didn't know that. I didn't speak to burning. So he said, burning in the name of Jesus, go. So the burning leaves. So now she's pain-free and burning-free, and they begin to rejoice and praise God, and he spends a little bit of time teaching her. Well, before the conference ended, she came up to him, and she said, you know, Andy, the burning in my back is trying to come back. And he said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, I will agree with you, but this time I want you to pray. You know, so she begins to pray and she says, oh, thank you, Lord, that, you know, that you've provided for our healing, that you're a good God. I believe that I'm healed. And she said all these great things, but the burning didn't leave. And Andy said, do you know why the burning didn't leave? And she said, no. He said, well, that was a great prayer and it was all true and you glorified God, but you didn't speak to the burning. She said, do you mean I'm supposed to say burning leech? And he said, that's exactly what I do mean. Speak to the mountain. She spoke to the burning and it left. He said he saw her a year later. He actually had dinner at their home with her and her husband, and she had been completely healed with no more issues. And so for me, this has become a lifestyle. And I'm still growing and learning it, but I will tell you that I have found that the Word of God is true. And just like my old pastor used to say, the Word will work if you work it. But that's how you work it. It is you speak it, you stand on it, and you enforce it. I'll just say this. This is like a law. You know, there's a law. I live off of Route 59, and we have a law that you're not supposed to go over 45 on Route 59. But people go 55 all the time, right? Because no one's enforcing it. But every once in a while, we see a policeman either across the road in the forest preserve or at the entrance to my subdivision, and he's got one of those things, and he's clocking them. And what's he doing? He's enforcing a rule, and that law, it is an instated law, but he is enforcing it. So can I say this? These promises that belong to you, these things that Jesus has spoken about, your authority and your healing, they are absolutely facts and they are absolutely true in the kingdom of heaven. But you are the one that is supposed to enforce it in the earth. God does not do that for you. That's one thing he doesn't do. He's given you the authority. He expects you to use it. He wants you to understand it. He wants you to know how powerful you are. And he wants you to master the art of walking in authority, okay? And this isn't, I'm talking about healing today, but this doesn't just apply to healing. This applies to things that don't line up with the Word of God. You can speak to the mountain, okay? So I love you, God loves you, and I'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.